one time. If you can't get it back there from the folks in the tape room, you ought to. Brother Caldwell is a blessing to us this morning, special blessing. And I couldn't remember him from the ninth grade. He was here from the ninth grade, and I heard Brother Pitts was the principal then, and Brother Pitts was joking at him at bus breakfast about he remembered paddling him. I'm not sure about that, but he came back and preached for us anyway, amen. And it was really good, and that's really special. Just something we all need. Well, Brother Perkins said I didn't deserve any kind of introduction. I wasn't expecting much anyhow. All joking aside, I don't need one, I hope. It is kind of hard to believe officially. I guess I've been retired for a little over a year now. Amen. Do appreciate Brother Parsons allowing me to try to preach again. I've sat down there just a while ago, and I felt a tinge, just a tinge, of anxiety. And I thought I hadn't felt that in a long time, which means I haven't preached here in a long time. All right, all joking aside, we're just filling in tonight. Hope you'll pray for Brother Parsons to get back. He's doing a great job. I worry about him spreading himself so thin because so many people are asking so much of him, and he's trying to cover all the bases, and I hope you are, believe you are, praying for him. I want you to read a short text tonight. That don't mean I'm going to be short with what I got to say about it. But it is a short text, amen? So that's a positive step, right? Let's go to Book of Matthew, chapter 19. The context of this is the rich young ruler has come to Christ. He's gone away sorrowful because the Lord told him to sell what he had and come and follow him, and he didn't want to do that because he had too much. And the disciples are watching and listening to this. So that kind of prompts what the text is tonight as we begin in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 19. Then answered Peter and said unto him, unto Jesus, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Boy, it's just like a bunch of Baptists. What are we going to get out of it? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, and watch the next statement, which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, in the regeneration. Jesus spoke of that as a matter of fact. Much of the Bible covers that. We've been teaching in the book of Revelation about his kingdom and so forth. There is a time, folks, that's coming that things are going to be changed. They're going to be renewed. You know, if we regenerate something today, if the battery's dead and you put a charger on it, you regenerate it, right? And a good message like we had this morning encourages us all to recharge our batteries, amen? And spend a little more time in the secret place. But here, Peter asks the question. Then the answer keeps coming in verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, now the missionaries would certainly fit in there, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, what's he saying to the disciples? There's a time coming when things are going to be changed. I want to use the word. It's a word you are hearing about today quite often if you're paying any attention to the news. I want to use the word reset. I want to speak to you a little bit tonight on God's reset. The world's got a reset plan they're working. Did you know that? We're victims of that plan, whether you know it or not. And America is really hurting from it right now, as we think. Now, a reset means a new start. And what are they saying? Right in our face, they're saying, we want to change everything. Right. We want to transform America. That's That's a dangerous statement that's been made now for the last number of years with the politicians, of course. That's the government plan. We've seen them use COVID to reset things. Reset. That's the world's plan. Now listen, we call it right here at Landmark now. We're a little different in this thing than a lot of people. We've been calling it the plandemic from the beginning. Not a pandemic, but a planned, planned one. And all the proof now is beginning to leak out and show that that's exactly what it was. For instance, the elites, the planners, the shakers, we might want to call them, they had a plan. They met in Switzerland, and they even wrote a book, COVID Reset. And remember, they'd done this several months before it was called a pandemic. And before they started wearing masks, and before they started taking destroying businesses, and before they closed down America, and before they kept our kids out of school to their detrimental hurt, before all that, they already met and planned it. That's come out now. It's fact. It's not theory. Not only that, they went through a simulation. In other words, they practiced it. They acted it out. And they did that and looked at what they thought the results might be. They even planned how the media would handle it. Hey, that's all in. You can get their book. They're in our face about it. They're not hiding it. Now they're saying yes, and they wrote a book, COVID Reset. And they reset America by bringing America down, destroying our businesses, bringing on the inflation because they put all the socialistic money printed with nothing to back it up. And we're reaping that. How many of you have gone to the grocery store and found out things are much higher?
Amen.
My wife was up in West Virginia for a little bit there, and I'd done something I hate to do, and that's go buy a few groceries. But it did cause me to look at the price. And I remember going and buying a gallon of milk when it was $3.45. The next time I went, it was $4.15. Same store, same milk. The last time I went, it was $4.59.
Yep.
Moving on up.
Yep.
Moving on up.
Right.
How about the gas station?
Come on.
Oh, my soul. A preacher said something about it this morning. Give a track out. My soul. People ought to be willing to accept one. All they got to do is look at the gas pump and see we're in trouble. And the sad truth is the government's COVID reset, their plan, they're resetting things every way that they possibly can, and the shutdown and the vaccines and the schools and the media pushing it, all of that is their plan to reset.
That's right.
To change America. Now I want to say to you, we're seeing it from the whole world, like the United Nations group. How many of you picked up on the word woke? Okay, that is pure foolishness.
Amen.
Wokeness. All of a sudden, wake up to their plan. Wake up and support them.
Yeah.
Brother Scotty Drake told me a joke. I don't know if I can tell it good as he told it. He said a little boy was in class, and the teacher said something in there about supporting the Biden administration and the wokeness and all this. And the little boy said, well, no, I wouldn't do that. She said, why not? He said, because my parents are Republicans. And she said, well, does that mean if your parents were morons, would that make you a moron? He said, no, it'd make me a Biden supporter. Now, you got that? Well, amen. But I want to tell you, the world has got a reset plan. The elites have a reset plan. The far left liberals, that's even too nice a name for them, that are trying to destroy America with their reset plan. But I got good news for you. God's got a reset plan.
Amen.
Oh, they think they're going to have their way, but they're not. They're not. They're in our face about it. I taught you this in Sunday school. I mentioned it to you in Sunday school. In front of the UN, they have put up a big image of a copper beast, a leopard with wings, described in the book of Daniel, representing the kingdom of the Antichrist. And they have put it up there in front of the UN. You know where the UN is represented in America? Outside the building. And the title of it is a international peace symbol. Now think about it. The Antichrist comes in on a peace platform. He is represented in the prophecies of the book of Daniel with a beast with wings, a leopard looking creature with the teeth and the wings and the whole thing. It's like they're saying, this is representing us. Yes, it is. The beast kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom. That's what they're putting together right now. And it is sad, but that's exactly what is going on. And we're looking at it today and we're seeing this sort of thing. And what's that plan include? Well, elevating the homosexuals. Taking your kids at a young age and indoctrinating them, because you see every dictator intends to do that. That's what communists have done for years. And I did not believe what I was hearing when the president this week, if you saw him in a news conference, say the kids belonged not to the parents.
Right.
He plainly said they belonged to us, and he was talking about his system and so forth. I got news for him, they don't. And I hope enough red-blooded Americans will stand up and do whatever it takes to not let their kids be turned over to this evil Antichrist system that is building. The reset they've got in mind is not God's reset. But they're trying to do that now. They're trying to do that. But God's got a reset plan. And that's what Jesus was saying to Peter here. Listen, in the regeneration. Maybe not now. I believe real close. There's a regeneration going to come. Things are going to change. You know, they worry now. They say, well, the climate change. Oh, that one nut up there, that one woman that thinks she's so pretty, she must not have a good mirror. But anyway, she thinks she's so pretty, and she says, oh, we only got 12 years. Well, that'd be too long if she had her way. We got God's time and not hers.
Amen.
But I only got 12 years, my foot. God is still in charge of the time.
Amen.
As well. But God's got a reset plan. That, in the context of that, is his kingdom on earth. The world wants to bring in a golden age, but it's not God's golden age. They're going to bring in slavery. They're going to number the people. They're going to try to track the people. They're going to control the people. And right now, we see in America trying to take your constitutional freedoms away, and this week announcing they're going to have a board by the Homeland Security enforced by a silly giggling woman to judge what is misinformation and not. Did you see that? Hey, folks, we're talking real stuff right now on us. What I'm preaching tonight would qualify me to be arrested, charged with misinformation spreading. Do you understand? I got a whole book of misinformation according to them. Because it's not their agenda, it's God's. There's a big difference in what God's intentions are and their intentions are. And so we're moved to that. Every dictator has to get rid of the freedom of speech to have control. And when you see these dictators arresting people that try to get out on the street and put them in jail, the whole thing, they can't dare let the truth out. But what did Jesus say about it? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it sets you free from the error of man and the plots of the devil that uses man. Yes, God's got a better plan. You know, his kingdom is coming, but if the world had their way, it wouldn't come. Do you understand when Jesus comes back? We've been studying the book of Revelation. You understand when he comes back, they're going to fight him. They're going to make a war against the creator that comes back to take over his creation.
Amen.
They're not going to like it. We studied in Revelation, or Revelation chapter 6, where when they look up and the scroll of heaven is open and the face of God shows up, and they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. They're going to reject him, but it's too late. They reject him now, but then they're going to reject him. Very creation fighting the creator. That's what the Bible tells us. It's going to happen. But in the context of his kingdom. You know, when the Israelites came out of, followed Moses out of the Egyptian slavery, And Moses was about to turn over the leadership to Joshua. As they were coming out and getting ready to cross the Jordan River and come into the land, the promised land of Canaan. My wife might remember this, and Scotty, you'll remember this. We were on the bus, that first trip to Israel. And as they pulled up the bus, big old windshield in that bus, and the guide, Zeb, you remember the guide, he said, "What are we looking at?" We all looked out that big windshield and a mountain point here and a mountain point there. And God gave me a good guess, I guess, but I said, "Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim." He said, "Yeah, how'd you know that?" I said, "I read the Bible." See, Moses was bringing out the children of Israel, the thousands of them, and told Moses, "Put some men on Mount Gerizim to bless. Put some men on Mount Ebal to curse." And as they went between those mountains, those men cried out, "Do this, obey God, and you'll be blessed. Do this against God, and you'll be cursed." It was a reset, so to speak, that God was making for Israel. "You're fixing to cross into the promised land. I want you to do different. I want you to, you're going to make a choice. Follow me or not follow me. Obey me or not obey me." It's kind of interesting. Brother Scotty, I was preaching for Brother Johnny Pope, and he sent me this since then. They made a discovery. Got a picture of two little small lead tablets. And they found them. And it's quite interesting. It upset the scholars pretty bad, because they thought that the Dead Sea Scrolls was the oldest copy of the Bible, Brother Sawyer. But they've been wrong. They found this little copy here, these verses, these words, 1,350 something years older than the Dead Sea Scroll. And guess what? They call it the Cursed Tablet. Why do they call it the Cursed Tablet? Because it was found on Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing. And you know what it does? It says, "Cursed, cursed, cursed, cursed by the God Yahweh," or we'd say Jehovah, "you will die cursed. Cursed, you will surely die." Cursed, cursed, cursed. That was on the, not on the good mountain, Gerizim, but on the evil mountain, Ebal. You understand what God has said in this book proves out every time the archaeologist digs up something else. That's the way it works. That's the way it happens. The truth is, if man would follow the blessing from Mount Gerizim, he'd be blessed. But instead, in his depraved nature, he follows that brings a curse upon him. Amen. Sadly, that is still true today. That's why I say that they'll gather in the armies of the world to keep Jesus from coming back and setting up his kingdom. What a shame it is, but that is true. But God has a reset plan. He's going to bring his kingdom in anyway. And it's going to happen. And it's not what they want to happen. Can you imagine CNN and MSNBC or whatever, ABC, all that crowd saying, "We got a space invasion. We got to stop them. We got to get the armies of the world out here." Don't kid yourself. It'll be Jesus when that happens. Amen. And they won't stop him. Amen. No, they won't stop him. But that's going to be the plan. God is going to reset the nations. When he comes back, he's going to sit on his throne. You read it in Matthew 25, and he's going to judge the nations, the goat nations, and the sheep nations. And he's going to have put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And you find out that God is going to divide the nations. I can't open that up because I got into it a little bit in Sunday school today. But what you and I are seeing, and a lot of folks asking questions right now, what's going on in Ukraine? What's going on with Russia? I'll tell you what's going on. They're fulfilling the Bible. Didn't surprise God. God didn't look down and say, "Uh-oh, I don't know what Mr. Putin's doing now." No, he already wrote about it ahead of time. Oh, yes, the nations are lining up just like God said. If you were to go over to Ezekiel, I'll not do it for time's sake, but if you went over there to chapter 38, you'd find a list of that northern block of nations that are getting together now to make the move that God said they would make. He said he'd put hooks in their jaws and pull them. And it seems almost like they, just their will, they're doing what God said they would do. And they're going to yoke together, and they're finally going to move against the mountains of Israel, and that's going to be their big mistake, because God's going to destroy them. Read the book. It's already written ahead of time. Amen. Hooks in their jaws. It's a late hour, folks, but it's a good hour. I'm not fearing the coming of Jesus. I'm looking for him. I'm praying for him to come. Oh, listen, I want to see some more folks saved, but bless God, the gospel is being preached, and folks are making a choice today, and they can be saved today, but the truth is a lot of folks are still trying to have it their way, not God's way. And they're not choosing to follow him. He's resetting the nations. I believe that he actually is resetting them. I believe the sevens are coming together. Now, I'm not going to get into it much, but you know this book is a supernatural book. Amen. It's built on the sevens, on the sevenfold structure of the sevens. Now, I'll just remind you of what that is. If you read in Psalms 90, you'll read where God says over there that 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. If you read in 2 Peter chapter 3, and by the way, in both contexts, in the Psalms and in Peter, the creation. Peter will say, you know, the skeptics will come and they'll say, where's the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning. And he's going to say to them, you don't know. The world was in the water and out of the water. But he said, remember, you think the time's up, but just remember with God, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. So what we sometimes refer to as the week of sevens. If you got a week of eggs, you got 7 eggs. You got a week of oranges, you got 7 oranges. You got a week of years, you got 7 years. Polycarp, the understudy of John that wrote the book of Revelation, that received the vision from God on the Isle of Patmos, Polycarp said that God would have a creation week. He said the world would be like the 7-day week. He said one day is 1,000 years. And you got strong Bible students. You got old Bishop Usher that's got the chronology probably in your Scofield Bible. And you got Larkin, and you got Darby, and you got so many different ones that believe what Polycarp was saying is that God has a creation week, that the world will stand till Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. His kingdom will be the last 1,000 years on earth. There'll be 6,000 years up till then, and that's your week of seven. What most of your outlines in your Bible, and by the way, folks, study your Bible. Amen. Listen to me. You got this electronic thing. You even got your Bible on it, but you better lay it aside and get to the Word. Anybody can put their opinion on that thing. Anybody can claim any kind of authority. This is the authority. This is God's word. This is his authority. And if you go outside of his authority, you're going to get led astray. Now, they may think they're telling you the truth, but if they don't know the Bible, they don't know the truth. They're deceived themselves. The word of God, that's the truth. Sadly today, many are being deceived by that. Too bad, but it's true. Now come back to the sevens. God's mark of seven is on creation. Amen. If you, I don't want to muddy the water here, but if you'll study the gestation period of animals, birds, yep, insects, and humans, seven divides equally into it. Because right, it's the mark of creation. So, well, the baby was born in 9 months. Okay, fine. Divide seven into it. I'm going to get a little gory with it, but check out how many roach eggs the mother roach lays. That's nasty. But it'll divide by seven. Check out all the birth. See, the mark of seven. It's on this earth. 7 days. God went through the Old Testament. 7 days. 7 weeks. 7 months. 7 years. Everything is marked. Even the notes on the piano is marked by seven. Amen. There are only seven notes over there. You say, well, we got some great piano players. They play the whole. They can't play but seven notes. They can jump an octave higher, but it's still just seven notes. I can't open the can of worms up, but if you go do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do, and do back to do. Say, what is that? Did anybody ever check out what those words mean? How many of you have ever checked out what those abbreviations mean? Anybody? What a dumb crowd I'm preaching to tonight. Check it out. It's a testimony to God. It is as though you started with do and you go to the high do, you're climbing through the universe. You're climbing through the stars. You're climbing through the planets. And then you come back again. Oh, yeah, check it out. Check it out. See, God's marked this world by sevens. Only seven notes on the piano. You've heard me say this before. Our bodies all change. Every cell in your body changes every 7 years. Ladies, you're living with a different man than you married if you've been living with him more than 7 years. He's not the same man. She's not the same woman. I didn't say it got better. I'm telling you, it's been changed. All the cells change every 7 years. And you can follow that on and follow that on and follow that on. I'll tell you a story. I want to hear it again. It's all right. I know I've told it before. Many, many years ago, before I got into ministry, I was trying to take a big state exam. And it was a hard one back then. It was a series of tests. It was 4 hours, three times. 4 hours, three times, 12 hours. And had to go. One time we could take two, and the next time I had to take one. But all total, that was for a country boy, that was a whole lot of brain power going on. And I knew I couldn't do it, because most folks that passed that test had a degree in entomology. And I did not. I studied everything I could get a hold of, but I had no degree in entomology. But most of them taking the test did. So I took everything home. When I could have been watching TV or going fishing, I studied everything I could, but it was the kind of dull stuff that would put you to sleep, dull stuff you couldn't remember. Amen. And it was tough. Scott, you know something about that. But I tried tricks. Somebody told me if you'd get a tape recorder with earphones and you'd put it on at night when you were sleeping and play this junk. Now, Sonya had to sleep in the other room. You'd wake up and it'd be implanted. That did not work. All it did was mess up a night's sleep. But I tried it. I was desperate. I tried everything. But when it come time to take that test, I'd been saved a while. I'd been studying my Bible a while. I knew a few things about the Word of God. I knew about the sevens. And I remember sitting there at the table. Now, they put us at separate tables to take the test. They passed it out. And they had walk-in monitors watching that nobody could cheat. And when they said go, I bowed my head and prayed. I don't know if I put my hands there, but I prayed. A big, ugly woman at two tables down saw me praying. When I looked up, I thought I was looking a Georgia Bulldog in the face. She snarled at me. Literally. What she was saying was, too late now, too late now. I prayed, and I went ahead and took the test. And when I come to all those questions about the gestation period of the insects and of the rodents and all that stuff that was involved, I came up with a Bible theory that I'm talking to you about right now. I said, God, you're the creator. Yes, you created the pestilence. Yes, you created the rats. You created everything. And God, your number seven ought to mark everything you created. And so when I had a multiple choice about the answer, I would always take the seven and I would divide it, put it into it. And if it come out equal, I'd choose that one. I passed the test. She didn't. In fact, I passed it really high by the grace of God. Now I want to say something to you. God's marked his creation. Polycarp and John the Revelator and others seemed to think that God was finishing on seven. The book of Revelation, we've been studying in Sunday school, it's a book of sevens. Seven trumpets, seven candlesticks, seven this, seven that. Yes, God's mark of sevens on the Bible also. That's why no other book has a sevenfold structure that the Bible does. And I told you that Kevin Mann that was saved here and is doing a great study on it is showing that it's true in the English of the King James as well as in the Hebrew and the Greek. God's mark is on his word. It's his word. And God's word tells us he's going to reset the nations, that he's got a plan to do that. And right now we see that, and I kind of believe the sevens are coming together. So what does that mean? Well, Bishop Usher and others said from Eden or creation, from Adam to the cross, was 4,000 years. Now remember, 1,000 years is one day is 1,000 years. 4,000 years from Adam to the cross. That's just general understanding in Archbishop Usher's plan there. Then from the cross through the end of the church age is 2,000. So that makes 6. 4 and 2 is 6. Then we know the millennial reign, the kingdom age, the regeneration that's in our text here is 1,000 years long. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that 6 times. 6 times it gives us the exact length of it. So if you take the kingdom age and you add it to the church age and you add it to the 4,000 years from Adam to the cross, you got 7,000 years. 6,000, then Christ returns at the Battle of Armageddon, sets up his kingdom, and it's the seventh day. That is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Got me that far? All right, then here's where the skeptic comes in and says, wait a minute, we're in 2022. So we're 22 years past that 7-year plan. Well, let's think about it. You know, look at me right here. You can't see me out there in radio land. Maybe you're thankful. But anyway, this point over here where I put my left hand, I'm going to let that be a starting point. Over here on the right, I'm going to let that be the end of the race, the end. Start, end. Got it? Now, where you start has a whole lot to do with where you end up. Right? All right, then most folks doing that counting that I just did for you, in the church age, they start measuring from the birth of Christ. And most commentaries will tell you that was probably 4 BC. And so, yes, we're counting 222 now. We're counting 22 years past. By the way, the calendars are not right, but they're in the ballpark. So we don't know for sure. But then they say, we count from 4 BC. Well, if they do that, our time's up. Then the 7,000-year week theory might not be right. It's already passed, 22 years past. But wait a minute. Suppose we don't start at 4 BC. Suppose we start this way a little bit. We move the starting line. Why would we move it? Because in the book of Daniel, the date is given of the Palm Sunday inference. Remember? Just had Palm Sunday, book of Zechariah, tales predicted. He'd ride in on the colt, the foal of an ass, remember? Yeah. When the children are out there throwing the palm branches under the animals and their coats and all. I mean, do you understand? Daniel gave exactly the date he would ride in on Mount Zion on the colt, the foal of an ass. He gave it 483 years, because in Daniel chapter 9, there's a 70 weeks given. 70 weeks of years is 490 years. Daniel gave the date that he would ride in. He rode in on that date. He was crucified when the Bible said he would be, and he arose when the Bible said he would be. Amen. So instead of starting at 4 BC, let's start over here in 33 AD. Yeah. Now take 22 from 33, old-fashioned math. 11 years. So don't give up hope. The blessed hope is on time. Jesus is coming. You say, I went to Landmark and Preacher Carter said this. See, no, I'm saying, I don't know for sure, but I sure am excited about it. Because it could be. And no, I don't think he's late. And I don't think the time's run out.
That's right. Amen.
And if it is the 7,000, 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. If what Polycarp, who studied under John the Revelator and gave his life as a martyr, what he wrote that down, it seems like he got it from his pastor, John the Revelator, that wrote the book of Revelation. That's going back a good ways, folks. And that's going back to John, who leaned on the breast of Jesus, as you heard this morning, Brother Caldwell preaching. That's pretty good authority.
Amen.
That's the best authority that you've got today. And I understand some of you young people, I don't know him to come yet. I want to get married. I want to do that. Oh, God could save you from so much you don't even know about. Amen. All right, fellas, I'm not trying to spoil your plans. I'm just saying Jesus is coming. That's the best plan there is. He's going to reset things. Are they worried about climate change? He's going to reset the climate. Do you ever read Isaiah 11? He's going to lift the curse. That means the storm don't come. Enough rain, but not too much. Enough wind, but not too much. Enough sun, but not too much. Everything's going to be right in that golden age when he comes back and resets it. Not worried one bit about climate change. Not worried about all this junk they're worrying about. Because there's a reset coming. And it's God's reset. And it's going to be the best that it could possibly be. Oh, I'm thankful for that. I tell you what else he's going to reset. Not only the nations. He's going to reset the church. Oh, yes. He's promised to receive glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end, Ephesians 3:21. You know, they brought this attack on the church. The COVID attack really hurt the churches. There's a lot of preachers still trying to recover the sheep that scattered under the threat of COVID. And what a farce that's proved out. Some folks died of it, but they died of other flus too. But look, what's happening now, they're getting tested positive, but they already had the vaccine. Didn't make any difference. What a con. What a joke. I can't open that can of worms except to say, I'm glad I didn't fall for it.
Amen.
When they were saying close the churches, I said, not me.
Amen.
I have no authority to do that. I would never dare face God Almighty and say I was so afraid of man or so afraid of losing my life, I'd shut down your house. I know some preachers got buffaloed into it. Most of them recovered, thank God. But I couldn't even believe that God's people would entertain such a thing as shutting down the house of God. And the stats stayed the same. Out of all the people that tested positive for COVID, even if they had any symptoms of it, most of them didn't have much. But if they did even have symptoms of it, less than one half of 1% that got it died of it. Close to how many got killed by lightning? Not near as many as got killed by cancer or heart or car wrecks. You see what a deal's been pulled? That was the reset plan. What will it do? It'll close businesses. What will it do? It'll close schools. What will it do? It'll give them control. And we've had a dress rehearsal for accepting the mark of the beast.
That's right.
That's it. A dress rehearsal. I used to get up here and preach and say, people say, I'll not take the mark. And I'd say, yes, you will. If you're here, you will. Now, you get out of here in the rapture, you ain't got to worry about it. But you'll take it if you're here. Because you want to buy and sell. You want to eat. You want to feed your babies. Yeah, you'll take it. Look how easy they line their cars up, line the lines up to get the COVID shot. They'll line up just exactly that way to get the mark of the beast in Revelation 13. Get mad at me, but you can't fire me. I'm on ground now. I'm dangerous to preach to you now. The restraints are off. Amen. Oh, listen, I will have to quit here, but he is going to reset the church. He's going to pull it out of here. He's going to set it in a different place. He's going to receive glory in it right on. Oh, yes, he is. He's made his promise, and he's going to keep that promise. I think we're nearing our reset. And I want to be careful how I say this, but I've been feeling something. I was in a preacher's meeting in Chicago. Several of us preached, and not having to do anything with the message we were going to preach. I was pleased, really, to hear so many preachers say something like this. I just got a feeling. I just got a feeling the Lord's coming.
Amen.
You say you're not supposed to go by feeling. No, but sometimes God lets his servants know a little bit ahead of time. Didn't Elisha know ahead of time that Elijah was going to be raptured? He did, didn't he? He felt it. The sons of the prophets up in the hills watching, they knew it. Now all of Israel didn't know it, and all the rest of the crowd, but God's servants had a feeling. I'm not going by feeling, but I'm just saying I feel it could be soon. I really do. Oh, and it'll be great. It'll be great. We're nearing our reset. Our reset. You know, the church is going to be reset. I guess even more so since I've retired, I've been able to get a different view from sitting in the pew than always sitting up here. And we need resetting. Now we ultimately need resetting with the Lord. We need it. So many ways we need it. I look around our church, and I see folks that have been serving the Lord here a long time. And they can't quite do what they used to. Some of our best singers can't quite do as good as they used to. Some of the best preachers we've had before can't quite do it anymore, including me. We're fading out some. We're not walking as fast as we were. We're not moving as agile as we did. We're coming to the end, folks. How many funerals? I've had a lot of funerals in this last year being retired. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying God is about to take the old team home.
Amen.
Going to reset us in a glorious place.
Right.
We're not going to whine about it. I think it's going to come at such a time that most of us are going to welcome it. I go around here and shake hands with some of you. You know what we do now? We used to talk about spiritual things like cars and hunting. And I'm joking some. You know what we talk about now? Pain. Doctor appointments. Medicine. That's what we're talking about. Don't kid me. I talked to somebody this morning. What am I saying to you? I'm saying we need resetting in a glorious body that'll never have pain, never need a pill, never have a doctor's appointment. Oh, I'm looking forward to God's reset. Wow. New start. You've heard me tell it before, but if you went right out the door there and you went right down Henson Avenue, you'd come to the red light. Then you'd go onto the railroad. And you'd come up to the next red light. And then you'd go on down to 6th Street where the other red light is. And when you stop for that, if you look, there's a building still standing. It was standing there when I was a teenager in school. It stood long before that, I'm sure. It had a department store in it. They sold clothes, I guess, stuff. I was in the... I guess it had been the 10th, 11th grade. The junior senior banquet was coming. I'd already got in trouble at school. I was pretty sure I was fixing to get expelled. Me and some other boys, we had done some bad things, and the school had caught us, and yet my mother didn't know that. She knew that the junior senior banquet was coming up. She'd received something through the mail, how we were supposed to dress. So she drugged me down to that department store to buy me a dinner jacket. Anybody know what a dinner jacket is? White dinner jacket, little black bow tie, you're cute as you'd be when you got one on, right? But it cost money, and we didn't have any money. Daddy was off on the truck. Mother didn't have any money, but she wanted her son to look as good as the others, and she wanted him to go. And so she drugged me down to that store, and I stood there about to burst into tears. The man clerk was a little mad at me, thought I wasn't cooperating with him. He didn't know what I was feeling on the inside. I was about to burst. Because I didn't want Mother spending grocery money on me, and I might not even be there for the thing. But I didn't want to tell her. I'm probably going to get expelled with these other three or four boys. We were skipping school and all the things we were doing. And I remember standing there about to burst on the inside, hurting. I could see myself on my knees side of a little creek bed in Georgia when I was in third grade, telling God I believed he was real. And I remember in my mind thinking, oh, I've messed up my life so bad. I was hurting so bad on the inside. Lord, if I could just get a new start, if I could go back and never do these things. And I actually thought to myself, if I could be born again. I'd never heard that word. Didn't go to church, didn't know any Bible, never heard that word. But I remember thinking, if I could just start over. Just start over. I was hurting bad. I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know right at that same time that up north in Michigan and the Detroit area, there was a little 13-year-old girl walking the aisle in a little independent Baptist church, trusting Christ as her Savior. I didn't know that God was going to pick her and send her to a little town in Florida, and she was going to meet a boy, get him to church, and he was going to hear how he could get born again. Amen. How he could have a reset, a new start. But that's what God was doing. And the time came in a short few years from that point that I met Sonia, and she said, the only place I'll go with you is church. And you know what? We've been to church ever since. We got saved and served God together. I remember teaching Sunday school when the only thing between her girls' class and my boys' class was a curtain hanging up in a hot building that never heard of air conditioning, Florida. I remember getting in the car and she'd be mad at me. You got to quit telling them jokes. If my girls are listening to them jokes. They're not listening to me. We served God together. Been doing it ever since. But now I have to admit to you, we can't serve him quite as good as we did. We're fading out with everybody else. Well, we've outlasted Moses, almost like we've lived two lives. I'm seeing these kids grow up around here and see their kids and all. And I understand how good God's been to us, but I also have to face it. If he don't come soon, we're fading. And you're fading. Many of you are fading. The church needs to be reset. He's going to reset it. Oh, yeah. I want to cross the finish line and occupy it till he comes as strong as I can. But I'm facing reality. I told some preachers, there's a lot of preachers want me to go off and preach. And traveling is tough, especially nowadays. Even though, thank God, Florida killed the mask thing on the plane. But it's still tough. And I know I can't do a lot of it. And I'm trying to cut back. And I'm telling some of those preachers when they call me, let me off the hook. I just can't do it like I used to. I've got some preacher friends, some of them, and you remember that I had in this pulpit, maybe one time, too many. They faded. And by the time they got in the pulpit here, the fade was awful. I could call some names and you'd recognize one or two of them. They were older. They were Bible students. They were good preachers. But their strength was gone. And their mental capacity. It was in there, but they couldn't recall it.
And I know I'm close to that. So you see why I want Jesus to come. I'm a little selfish about that. I'd like for him to come tonight. Amen. But the truth is, he's coming soon. Because he's got to reset some things. He's got to reset this old earth. He's going to reset the nations. He's going to reset the church. He's going to reset them to know who the King of Kings is and the Lord of Lords is. And he's going to sit on his throne and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's the reset that he was talking to Peter about in the regeneration. Not that far. Not that far. You know what's good? You can have a personal reset even tonight. You know, it's never too late to receive Jesus if you're still breathing. Amen. Oh, you don't know what I've done. No, but he does, and he'll still reset you if you let him. Oh, yes, he will. He'll give you that new chance. In the Civil War, a statement was thrown around quite a bit because they had chaplains and preachers preaching to the men. Now, listen, men get serious when they know next day they may die. There was a lot of baptisms held during the Civil War from those chaplains and preachers out there in the bush and the rivers and places. Even George Washington himself was baptized in the Revolutionary War, during the war. A statement got around with soldiers about being saved at the last minute, and it went something like this. Those that knew the grace of God and knew the truth of the Bible preached to them, and the common soldier had this saying. He said, well, they say that you can be saved from the stirrup to the ground. In other words, if you shot out of the saddle before you hit the ground, if you'll call on the Lord Jesus, he'll save you. That was a statement made often in the Civil War. From the stirrup to the ground. You say, is that Bible? Well, how about the thief on the cross? It is Bible. Just recently, I had the funeral of a heart rod buddy that we started off racing cars together. Brother Marvin knows what I'm talking about over here. First time I ever met him, I was under the hood of an old car right here behind the tall building. First old car ever owned, trying to get it to run. Coasted it down the hill to crank it. I can't teach you science at this late hour. But I was on the hood, and I realized somebody else was on the hood with me. It was another teenage boy. He jumped right in there to help me. And Jackie and I became friends from that point on. Then we got into hot rod racing together and building race cars and keeping them repaired and all that. But then I just told you a while ago, I got reset when I met a girl that got me to church. Well, he didn't get reset. He went on living exactly like I would have lived had not God sent that witness to me. I'd have lived the way he did, taking God's name in vain, doing things, whatever the flesh felt like doing, and struggling with the struggle of life. I would have been that way right on. But I got reset. He didn't. Years went by. Many years separated us from seeing each other and stuff. But here recently, and Brother Marvin Johnson and some others, maybe Orville over here, helped me to know he was sick, and sick unto death. And I was able to go see him. And long story short, with his eyes closed, when he couldn't speak enough, I could understand him, but knew he could understand me, I was able to give him the gospel about Jesus. He was on the way from the stirrup to the ground. And I asked him if he would accept Jesus to squeeze my hand. In a series of statements and so forth, I believe he got into heaven just like the thief on the cross. So at the funeral, I told the crowd, family and others, I'm going to shock you because you know your dad didn't deserve heaven. Your friend didn't deserve heaven. But face it, you don't deserve heaven. And I don't deserve heaven.
Right.
None of us could earn it. But by God's grace, the thief got in. From the stirrup to the ground. And I believe Jack got in. I believe he got reset. The last of his life. The last breaths he were taking. Tonight, things aren't going well. You don't have peace. You can get reset tonight. God's got a great big reset button. Jesus. You can be born again. If you come, trust him. Oh, yes. A big reset is coming. I hope you're ready for it. Father, we ask your blessing. Father, as we stand tonight and give an invitation, if there's somebody here unsaved, we pray for their soul right now. We pray for Christians, as the preacher preached this morning, that need to get back to the secret place. They need to get reset. Father, I pray for that one that's discouraged tonight or that's following you afar off. They don't have the peace they used to have. I pray for them to get reset tonight. I pray if it can be your will, that your spirit would woo them and draw them to come even tonight. Especially that one that's never received Christ. Help them to know they'd get born again, a new start, a reset by coming and trusting Christ tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to stand. We'll sing an invitation song. We'll meet you down front here if you want to come receive Christ. You want to come to the altar. Might be you just feel, well, I've been a little cold. And come to the altar and say, God, reset me. Reset me tonight. Let me draw back nearer to you. Let me get back to the secret place, our relationship together. Whatever God's asked you to do, I pray you'll do it as we sing.
All to Jesus.